Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And now joining us is the former NFL offensive lineman, played for the Steelers, played for the Jets, and that, of course, is Willie Colon. Willie, how you been, my man?
What's going on? Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you and your family as well. So Cowboys-Lions tonight, all of a sudden the Cowboys are back in it. The Lions have been trending in the wrong direction after starting the season off 4-1. Who do you trust more tonight in the showdown?
The Cowboys right now. I think they're the hottest team in football. I think right now you talk about the way Dak's playing. I think he's playing at an MVP level. I also think he finally has a defense that travels, and I don't think he had that last year. Now, we also understand the Cowboys are a different team on the road. They're 2-4 right now. But Dak has been solid. He's thrown 12 touchdowns and then only 4 interceptions. But I think what's the caveat to it all is that we're looking at George Pickens through another lens solely because of the relationship between him and Dak. And once again, I don't know how the Cowboys do it, but they do it time after time. They get a trio of some bad playmakers that can run up the scoreboard. So I like the way Dallas is playing. I love the way Dak's playing. And I also think, you know, sometimes when you get healthy at the right time, that propels your team. And I think the Cowboys are getting healthy at the right time right now, and they're playing at a high level.
You know, you look back at it, the Steelers, they got rid of George Pickens. They brought in DK Metcalf. Pickens has been behaving himself this year. He's playing his ass off. I know at times – and he acted like a little bit of a jackass with the Steelers. I think that's fair to say. Looking back at it, do you think that was a mistake by the Steelers to go all in for DK Metcalf and then send George Pickens off to the Cowboys?
It feels like it, don't it?
Right?
it feels like it. You know, I think right now the only issue – well, I think one of the issues, I don't think they could have taken two Hollywood's, you know, minded receivers in one locker room. You know, DK, as great as an athlete – he does come with some baggage, and I think Pickens, I think they kind of Pickens kind of ran his course with Mike Tomlin and the organization, and things had to happen, but I'm happy with the growth. And sometimes, listen, I think the Steelers and Mike Tomlin are one of the most patient teams in all of the NFL. But when you have to be able to learn from your mistakes. We've seen what happened with them and Antonio Brown, and how to, even though Antonio Brown was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, there was a lot of bad that came with him too, right? And so I think they were like, they're more focused on good character, hard-nosed ball players. And sometimes you just got to cut your losses and move on. I think that's what Steelers did.
Well, patience is wearing thin in Pittsburgh. Big Ben is talking about a divorce with the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. James Harrison referred to Mike Tomlin as not a great coach. How do you react to what some of your former teammates have said?
You know, it's tough because Mike Tomlin means a lot to me. He means a lot to me on and off the football field. He's somebody who believed in me early in my NFL career, in my Pittsburgh career. You know, this man has been a part of this organization for 19 years. They held on to Chuck Noll for 23 years. You're going to have ups and downs. And I think the Steelers are stuck in between stability and being stagnant. And it's tough, right? But I also try to remind a lot of people that, listen, there's a lot of other teams who had turnover with coaches, and they're still looking for their next guy, right? And they're still looking for their next quarterback. And they're still kind of trying to figure out who they are, what they want to be at the as an organization. The Steelers, right now realize that they can't, you know, they can't continue in this mode as far as just constantly cracking the playoffs and just kind of being a one and done team. But I also believe Mike Tomlin is the floor, and I think he's the stability. And I also realize the Steelers just don't operate like everybody else. People just want to kind of join to the norms, like, well, Dallas would have fired a coach, or this team would have fired. Well, that's what they do. That's not what the Steelers do, right? And that was kind of the running thing with Belichick. Everybody, just because a head coach didn't do the Belichick way, it didn't make him a good coach. It's not true. You know, everybody beats to their own drum. So I think right now they're 6-6, 2-1 in the division. The season isn't over. They're in a division that everybody's kind of figuring themselves out right now. And it's going to come down to the wire. But they need this game. This is a got to have it game. And this is where you need all hands on deck and everybody who's, you know, with a 8-figure contract to play, put on the cape and deliver.
You know, it just feels like it's time that they should split. Like, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers now. You know, they haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. Maybe it turns into one of the Andy Reid situation with the Eagles, where he goes off and, look, it was very successful for him. I know the Eagles didn't hit it right away with Chip Kelly, but then they found Doug Peterson and Nick Sirianni and won 2 Super Bowls. That's why I think what Ben said is kind of right. It could be best for both parties.
Well, just note this. Mike Tomlin is going to have to fire himself. The Rooneys won't fire Mike Tomlin. It's just that's not what's going to happen. They've signed him through 2027. And I honestly believe he's going to right the ship. You know, this we're not looking at a 4-7 team that's currently searching for, you know, a top-5 pick. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about an organization who understands that they have some deficiencies. They haven't delivered. They've suffered some bad losses. But I've also looked at how they responded. They lost to Green Bay and turned around and beat the Colts, right? But then they turned around and lost to the Chargers. So it's just one of them years where – they're going to have to maybe do some internal cleaning, right? That's probably the biggest thing they're going to have to really focus on, because the way they didn't respond in the second half against the Bills, I think, was most telling. And the Bills put up 23 points. The Steelers scored 0. And that's where you're like, all right, what didn't we do at halftime for us to get that output? So I think it's going to be more in-house cleaning, but I don't think Mike Tomlin's going anywhere.
Do you think Rodgers will be back next year? Like, I'm watching Rodgers, and I appreciate him playing through the injury, but then he gets hit hard, and he got the nose busted up. Like, I'm sitting there saying, dude, go do your ayahuasca, go sit in a cave, do what you want, and just retire at this rate.
You know, I think that's going to be up to Aaron Rodgers. But I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers from the neck up is so far and beyond what that roster can compute. You know, I think he's just played so much football. He's a 4-time MVP. He's 41 years old. He's seen it, done that. Some of those guys, you know, the Steelers on offense isn't an old offense. A lot of them guys are still fairly young, so they're still growing into themselves. I think the biggest thing that he talked about in his presser after the game was, hey, man, we got to be accountable for how we prepare. He talked about going into that Buffalo game. They didn't have a good week of practice. And, you know, this film study, and I'm pretty sure he has meetings where he pretty much gets the receivers together, and it sounded like some guys missed those meetings. And so that's like the level of accountability that every ball player has to have. Are you doing your best going into the game so you prepare for any situation? And only every guy in the helmet can answer that question. I think Aaron Rodgers is tough. I like that. I love that he's our quarterback. I hate that he looks like a battered prize fighter, but – I know one thing about him. He's going to figure it out. He's going to get right. And he's also held himself accountable in all those pressures. So it's just a matter of finishing the race. You got to see it through.
Willie Colon here with us. If the postseason started today, the Patriots would be the one seed in the AFC and the Bears would be the one seed in the NFC. Who are you more impressed with this year, the Pats or the Bears?
Probably the Pats, because you're talking about Drake May in year two, Mike Vrabel, you know, jumping back on ship. And I think he has this team ahead of schedule. You're talking about their defense. They don't have a lot of – you know, they don't have a lot of big-name guys on that defense. Outside of Christian Gonzalez, you know, Harold Landry's playing at a top level. But overall, together, they matched the identity of how Mike Vrabel played. He was gritty. He was tough. He was disciplined. But he also had, you know, he's a two-way player at that. And so when you watch this team, you know, they seem like they're always prepared. They're always ready for the fight. And in reference to Drake May, I think the fact that we're looking at him as an MVP right now and a serious candidate for MVP just speaks to how the operation is being ran in New England. And I'm not surprised. I played against Mike Vrabel. We had very un-Christian-like things to say to each other. but he was a battle axe, man. And we fought and we grinded. But you know, I love the way what he's done with his coaching career. You know, when you talk to guys who have played for him, they see themselves in him. And they're like, hey, man, we can relate to this guy. This guy relates to us. He gets it. He's hands-on. We feel like we can communicate with him. There isn't so much of talking to the guy in the ivory tower. He's on the ground level. And it reminds me a lot, believe it or not, my first year with Bill Cowher. That's how a lot of the guys looked at Bill Cowher. Like, he was the guy who didn't. And MIT has the same attributes, that those guys don't sit in the ivory tower. They come in the locker room, they mix, they mingle, they're on the field, they're doing drills with guys, you know, they're getting in the mix. They're not just standing on the sideline with a whistle and a clipboard and kind of just watching the boys go. So I think that type of energy and how he operates, man, is contagious, and I'm not surprised about the Pats' success right now.
You know, who was the one player through your career? Like, I usually think trash talk, it's between corners and wide receivers, that's when it's elite. But was there one player on the defensive side of the ball during your career that you could just remember, man, that dude was a great trash talker?
Oh, man. The great Bart Scott was top five. He's like my brother now, so and I got to deal with him every Sunday.
Yeah, he's a pain in the ass, let's be real.
Yeah, the great Bart Scott is up there. There was a defensive tackle that used to play for the Browns and Chiefs, and he's from Brooklyn. His name was Sean Smith. I don't know if you remember him, nose tackle. He wouldn't shut up. I'm like, you know, between him and Bart, by the time the fourth quarter came, I was like, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Like, we were just lost in translation. We just always cussing each other out. And there was Ronnie Harrison was one of those guys. He just, you know, he'll cheap shot you and then talk about your mama after it. So those are the guys that come to mind right off the bat.
Is there a line that's crossed in trash talk? There was something this week where someone said, like, they're going to kill you or something on the field, and that made the waves. Is there ever a line in trash talk in the gridiron?
Yeah, I threaten to take people's lives all the time. That wasn't it. I think anytime you start talking about people's wives and kids, that's when you cross the line. Everything else, you know, unfortunately, your mama will be talked about. Unfortunately, your daddy will be talked about. But anytime you start dipping into, like, talking about people's wives and kids, I think that's when it kind of crosses the line. And I've never gone that route. Let me say this. I tell you what the ultimate line is. You better not spit on me.
Yeah.
Like that, if you spit on me, I'm leaving the stadium in cuffs. So yeah. I'll tell you that.
I would not want to pick a fight with one Willie Colon. Willie Colon here with us for a few more moments. Chiefs, are they going to miss the playoffs? You think this is it for them this year?
I would love for the Texans to put the dagger in. I would. I think solely because I love the way the Texans look on defense. And, you know, so much is talk about their edge rushers, but their interior line led by Sheldon Rankins, who's a journeyman, has been stout too, man. And you talk about Stingley on the back end. And, you know, it's really – man, this is big for C.J. Stroud, man, because, like, he doesn't have to drive this thing. He just can't crash it, right? Because everything looks like the special teams working, the defense is working. They have enough of offense to be effective. He just has to play efficient, not be the reason they lose. And the Chiefs, listen, the Chiefs had a hell of a run. You know, it's funny because I've been on a roller coaster. When it started the season, I was saying, hey, man, this is the end of a dynasty. And then they started to rally. They beat Detroit, and they had a couple scrappy wins. And I'm like, oh, I had to eat crow a little bit. But then I'm like, man, I should have stayed true to my gut, right? And so I thought the loss against Denver really was kind of the needle. The straw that broke the camel's back. This could be the dagger. And I want to see the Texans win. So that's my feelings about it.
How about the direction of the Jets, a team that you cover for now? And SNY, you obviously played for them. They got rid of Sauce Gardner. They got rid of Quinnen Williams. They're starting to win some more games now as of late. They got their third win of the season. The Jets are moving in what direction?
Well, I think they're starting to build an identity. I like the two acquisitions they was able to get between Michi and I forgot the young
Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell, yep. I like that. And then, listen, I think Aaron Glenn is a realist. I know he takes a lot of heat in the media for how he approaches the media. But I also think he understands, like, this thing is going to take time. And to telling that to Jets fans is like putting a nail through their head. Like, bro, we've
again?
Been waiting. Yeah, like we've seen this before. But I think Aaron Glenn has the young guys believing in what he's trying to do, how they practice, and how they operate. And the fact that, you know, I think the biggest tell right now, whether people want to believe it or not, is this team hasn't given up on them. Right? Like, because, you know, you're in the New York market. We see social media. We watch the papers. People are calling for his head, and he's not even a full season through. People want him fired. And players read it. Players see it. But when you watch the tape and you watch how they're performing, they're fighting. I mean, they almost beat Baltimore. Breece Hall doesn't fumble that football at the end of that game. They may squeeze out of Baltimore with a W, right? And so to see that they're still fighting and scrapping, the guy's still playing hard, I think it's a strong tell that they believe in what he's doing and what he's trying to accomplish. So.
Last thing I'll ask you, Fernando Mendoza, Ty Simpson, Dante Moore, it's not a great quarterback draft class, but they're going to be in the top 10. Do you think the Jets ultimately take a quarterback in this draft?
Zach, you just can't miss anymore, right? We've missed time after time.
But you can miss this year.
You damn sure can miss this year. But I also think if I wouldn't draft a quarterback, I think you go either get another prize defensive weapon or you go get the kid from Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith. I just feel like at this point you start building the team up. If you got to go get another bridge quarterback that can carry you for another 1 or 2 years until you see the guy and know the guy, like, no, this is him, there's no doubt about it, I think you hold off. Now, the question is, you know, who that is. Do you bring Tyrod back? Is there a situation you make a pull for Kyler Murray? Do you stand on the desk and, like, you know, sell your soul, try to get Mac Jones out of San Francisco? Like, it just – there's some options there. But I think you start building this roster up to the point where, like, if you do go get a rookie quarterback, he can float solely because of the talent around him.
He's Willie Colon. Willie, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much, my man.
Always, brother. Thank you for the time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.